This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Let's go! This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
What's up, friends? Good morning, friends. Do you think Michael Lombardi, as we say hi, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network? I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. Do you think your friend, and it is your friend, do you think Jim Nance was driving around one day and it just hit him inspirationally? Hello, friends. And now it's become synonymous. It's become his thing, but maybe it just kind of came to him. It seems pretty basic, but it works for him.
You know, I think he is certainly a wordsmith, and I think it comes to him naturally. So, you know, I think it was probably born out of the moment of creativity. Things like that don't necessarily happen with a lot of thought. They just go. I mean, when Brent Musburger uttered those great words, "You are looking live," that was because it was the first time in television history that a pregame show went live. So it made sense. And so Nance, who thinks everybody is his friend and certainly behaves that way, he wants to say hello to friends.
You're right about that. So the inspirational stuff kind of subconsciously. But it's so funny because whenever you talk about Jim Nance, who's one of our great broadcasters of our generation, of course, Brent Musburger, a legend, but everybody just says immediately, "Hello, friends," and that's the thing.
Hello, friends.
And it works for golf. There's no better time than golf. How are we feeling this morning?
We feel great. I mean, he engages you into this wonderful sport, and being in that incredible butler cabin, I think it just becomes, we feel like we are part of it, and it is a friendship, a kindred, a spirit of sort to watch this great event unfold. And, you know, yesterday we were able to see, you know, a little bit of Scottie Scheffler having, you know, down the stretch on the second nine, struggling, which we weren't expecting, to make this thing a little tighter going into Sunday.
Yeah, Scheffler with a 3-stroke lead heading into the final round there at Augusta. We'll get to that in just a second. Stephen Bond wanted us to start quickly with Tiger. So Tiger, Michael Lombardi, career worst 78 at Augusta National yesterday. 5 bogeys, 2 doubles. He could not make a putt. I mean, if he was 3-putting all over the place. So he started inside the top 20 yesterday. On moving day, he very much moved outside the top 20. That's where Tiger sits now.
I mean, what I thought was really telling about Tiger was his, you know, most people would have said, okay, this has taken its toll on me. The cold weather, the undulations of walking, my body's beat up. I gave it an attempt. But not Tiger. Tiger, you know, his last interview as he was leaving the course yesterday was, well, you know, I've got a chance to try to get back to even par. I mean, not win the tournament, but I want to play my best. And certainly he was struggling. You could see it in everything that he moved. And if you read Wright Thompson's column this morning or yesterday, you know, just the limp became even worse walking to his car as people were waiting for him to leave the course. So, you know, a tremendous achievement by him to at least play But you could see all the elements that we thought would occur have, because this is a test of volume, not necessarily a test of one day. And putting 3 days together with a bad leg has certainly taken its toll.
I don't know if it's purposeful, but the limp definitely becomes more pronounced on the bad shots, and he kind of gets a strut on the good shots. I'm sorry.
I don't think it's Kaiser Sose limp. I don't think it's a Kaiser Sose limp where, you know, remember when he walked out of the police station and the limp went away? I don't think it's that. I don't think it's the usual suspect limp with Kaiser Sose, but I do think he kind of – that pain does get to him, and he admitted it yesterday with the feel around. He couldn't get comfortable putting, but a lot of guys couldn't get comfortable putting. I mean, it was not a comfortable putting day for a lot of people. Cam Thomas was sensational. He was able to battle through it. I mean, Cam Smith, but you know, a lot of guys. I mean, Lowry struggled with short putts. I think the one thing, you know, the wind does affect that putting as much as anything, only because of the way the greens have dried out and how fast they're playing. I mean, right now, Patrick, we only have seven players under par.
Yep. Let's get into the meat of the betting. You just nailed it as far as Saturday. Cold, windy, kind of a listless feel at Augusta National. The attire resembled more Val Colorado than it did Augusta National. The beanies, you had people kind of bracing for the weather, of course, but you just nailed it. And I will say this, I talked about a showdown with the two hottest players on the planet right now. I mean, combined, Cam Smith and Scottie Scheffler have won, you know, five tournaments this year, and they're gonna have a duel today. 26 of the last 31 Masters, Michael, the champ has come from the final pairing, and that final pairing will consist of Scottie Scheffler, three-stroke lead over Cam Smith. Cam Smith went in 34, went out in 34 yesterday. A 68 in those conditions was tremendous.
Really impressive. And I think today, as we watch this, I think the first nine is going to tell the complete story. I can't believe Scheffler or Smith are going to fall apart on the second nine, especially if the weather is more conducive to scoring. And, you know, typically in this tournament, the pressure mounts on the second nine because of 10, 11, and 12. But then you got 13 and 15 where you may be able to breathe some air and get some birdies. And Scheffler didn't do that yesterday. I mean, Scheffler struggled from 12 to 15, and then he bogeys 18. So to me, I think if you're going to close this gap, I think Cameron Smith's got to close it on the first nine to give himself a chance on the second nine. And Scheffler, I think, has got to play really well on the first nine, because I think that second nine, you know, he knows you're going to give up. There's going to be scoring opportunities, particularly if the weather's there. But I think it'll be a dual match. I was disappointed in Lowry not being able to. M really made a comeback. I mean, he started getting his game going together. And, you know, I just feel like it is really, can M jump in there? He's five shots behind. I think that's going to be challenging for M, Lowry, or Schwartzel, or any of those, or, you know, or Thomas. I think it's going to be hard for them to catch up.
I'll give you the updated odds. Just seven players, as Michael mentioned, still under par. Sungjae Im is five strokes back. Shane Lowry, seven back as we head into the final 18 at Augusta. You mentioned Scheffler. You know, the three putt on the par 5 15. So he gave one back there. He also gave one back on that par 3 12. But then he goes to 18, and he was leading by four, right? And then a wild drive into the trees. And you could tell it was going to be drama, because they were digging through the debris trying to find the ball. Found the ball, took the one-stroke penalty on the drop, and then ripped I think it was a 3-iron, 240, Michael. I mean, these guys are insane what they do. They're wizards. 240 back of the green, two putts per bogey, and that's where he sits. Now, the last player to give up a three-shot lead or more heading into the final round at Augusta was 2011, and that was Rory. So we shall see. I'll give you the number, and you tell me, will he hold it? Okay. So it's going to come down to Scheffler and Smith, we think. Scottie Scheffler right now is a minus 230 favorite. If you want to bet Cam Smith to win the tournament, he's plus 200, so 2-1. What would you do with those two if you were betting it?
You know, I think I would. You got to take a shot at Cam Smith just because it gives you an opportunity to make some money on it, you know. But I didn't think, watching the tournament until we got into the second nine, that Scheffler was going to fold. I thought he had really good command of it. You know, he birdies the the second hole. He birdies the third hole, you know, and then six and eight. And he does a great job on the first nine. But then that 12 to 15 gives me a little bit of worry. And 18, Patrick, I've never really, of all the times I've watched this tournament, you rarely see somebody at 18, which to me is one of the most complicated course holes in the course, the way it sets up for television. It really, you can't tell. But I've never seen anybody over to the left. Usually everybody leaks to the right, or they're in the where Bubba Watson was. So I guess to answer your question, I would go with Cam only because I think you have the better chance. But Scheffler, to me, I think he'll play well today.
All right, so here's the question I'll follow up with then. Do you want to see the clean-cut Texan win it? Or do you want to see the long-haired Aussie who looks like just hopped off the Outback, doesn't even look like he can buy a beer because he looks so young. He's got the scruffy goatee. You know, the difference is Cam Smith's better off the tee, but maybe right now short game in the world. Scheffler's better off the tee. Cam Smith, short game, better. Both are tremendous from the fairway. They got a distinctly different look, though. Who do you want to see win the Masters?
You know, I mean,
Lowry. I know who it is, Lowry.
Well, I mean, I think you just kind of like it. You know, I think the best thing that's going to happen today for Scheffler is he won't have to constantly put that windbreaker on, that fleece. I mean, at some point, stop. I mean, either wear it or don't. Was that thing actually keeping him? It was driving Bill Berman crazy yesterday. I just want you to know. I thought Berman was going to lose his mind, that he was taking it on and off and taking it on and off. It's like
that bothered
either
him.
Leave it on or take. I mean, it was annoying him to no end. But why Schwartzel's pants being too short, not cuffed down to the bottom, and this guy doing, I mean, I was having a fashion conversation the whole day. I'm going to go with Scheffler. If I'm rooting for somebody, I'll root for Scheffler. Although, if Cam Smith is a fan of the AFL and he's an Essendon fan, that might lead me in that direction, because I'm an Essendon fan.
Michael's got connections out there. Who knew your next door neighbor was Giorgio Armani? Huh?
He was going crazy. The pants were too short. I mean, really, Schwartzel's pants were way too short. I mean, like somebody, like, you can't go out there looking like that. I mean, really, I don't want to see your ankles the whole time.
Yeah, I wear the same jacket.
They should have a fashion critic there. It would be interesting.
R.I.P. Joan Rivers, or she could come back and do it. Remember, she was good at the red carpet.
I'm sure they would really appreciate that at the Masters. How long do you think that would last? Excuse you, CBS, you're no longer covering the tournament. You know, that would be the end of that.
Now, I don't know if Scheffler excites anybody because he's kind of got that plain demeanor, but he is right now, he's the world's number one. And Cam Smith won the Players. You know, he won in Hawaii to start the year. I mean, this is a guy that is just all world. So I think the final pairing could be pretty exciting. I think you nailed it. It's going to be interesting. You can obviously lay whether or not Scheffler birdies the first. That first drive is just
I think the first nine is going to paint the picture, because we know the pressure is on the second nine. But, you know, if you're going to catch him, you got to have to make shots where he can't really beat you in shots. That's where you got to make up the distance.
It's going to warm up at Augusta. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
To the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, of course, the NFL draft. When's it coming up here, Michael Lombardi? The NFL draft is coming up in like 18 days, right?
Yeah.
So it's here in Vegas.
We're getting there.
We're going to have gondolas. They're going to be shipping the guys to the stage there down the street. We're going to have extensive coverage here on VSiN, of course. Matt Eumanns with a mock draft. Michael Lombardi, no mock, but he will give his draft analysis. Pritch is going to be on the scene, Michael Lombardi, former first rounder. I think you worked out, Mike Pritchard. I believe that was the case back in the day.
I think I did. You know, Colorado, when Mike was coming out, was really filled with a lot of pro players. It was really they were able to go into Los Angeles and they were recruiting L.A. Continental Airline, the man who was running Continental Airline was really helping their football program. And Bill McCartney, the former Michigan assistant, did a hell of a job raising that program. And they were in the Big Eight at the time. And there was a ton of great players. Chad Brown, Mike Pickett.
The enemy.
It was just all. Bienemy, you know, Stewart, the quarterback for the Steelers.
Cordell.
You know, Cordell Stewart. You know, there was a bunch of them. Westbrook, the wide receiver that went to the Washington. There's a bunch of really good players.
Michael, also legendary sports broadcaster, voice of the Raiders. He does a great – he's so good on the call still. A Brent Musburger, he's going to give a draft betting guide in his best bets. So sign up today. Again, we're going to drop this draft guide. The betting on the draft has become – so much more prevalent, and for $19 you can get it all. vsin.com/draft. It's vsin.com/draft. So we got to, and remember, Michael's writing now for VSiN. What day are you kind of dropping the vsin.com articles
on Thursdays
throughout the week?
Yeah, usually on Thursdays. Usually on Thursdays it gives it kind of the week to get going to do something. On draft week, I'm sure I'll do more than just one column during that week, because there'll be so much information going out that we can kind of dispense with it in a more rapid fire fashion. Femi and I will do more podcasts that week as well.
Find the podcast GM Shuffle wherever you find your podcast. Go to vsin.com for more information. Okay, I want to get to the wide receivers. We've got plenty to do. Got a ton of time today on a Sunday morning. Easy Sunday morning to stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
We'd be remiss. I mean, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just quickly.
Well, no,
wanted
I was
to
just saying. This NFL, you know, this where we are with the NFL. I mean, the NBA today is fascinating, right? There's so, I mean, I was looking at it this morning, and it's so up and down on to me where this is all going to play out. But you know, we can certainly talk about the final day.
Yeah, final day of the NBA regular season. I've got all the scenarios ready to go. I'll get to that in just a second. Remissive if we didn't mention, kind of crazy, you know, during the show. The news of Dwayne Haskins, the obvious outpouring of condolences all throughout the day yesterday. The NFL community, his loved ones continue to mourn. Yesterday, Florida, early in the morning, struck by a truck. Dwayne Haskins, 24 years old, struck and killed. Big Ben with a lengthy statement. Kevin O'Connell, a new coach. Remember, he coached him down in Washington. The new Minnesota head coach, Urban Meyer, with a statement. We don't have to go too into it because I'm not so sure the details really matter. I know when something like this happens, people want to get details. But the fact of the matter is somebody lost their life tragically too soon here.
Yeah, tragically way too soon. And certainly reading the outpouring of emotions that have come from Pittsburgh players and the Pittsburgh organization, Haskins has kind of endeared himself in there. And he was obviously changing his life and really becoming a hard worker and becoming the person that I think he was growing up to be. And it's just tragic that, unfortunately, he loses his life at such an early age. And it's shocking. I mean, it's just shocking. And you never want to hear about this as a father. These are the worst news you could possibly ever hear.
Yeah. So we just wanted to mention that. It really was. You know, I was texting Michael after the show yesterday. I had to interrupt you to break the news, and I could tell when I told you, you were just like, it took you a little bit to conceptualize what I was even saying, because when you think about a 24-year-old losing their lives, it really just doesn't add up. So
no,
we were just
no, it doesn't. And I think when you know, as a father, and you know, you have kids and grandkids, you know, you're always protective of that. You know, I mean, you always are concerned. It's the worst nightmare, and so that certainly is striking. And I, my heart to the Haskin family, his wife. It's just very, very hard to understand.
Can't even imagine it. Now, as we transition, which we need to do here. So it's funny, because when you and I were discussing Kyler Murray, he kind of came up with the blueprint for the petulant new age checklist, where when you want to get what you want in life these days, you start going down the checklist. And the first thing you do is you scrub social media of the team you play for and your acquaintances. And that is what Deebo Samuel has done. Here are the wide receivers. And we talk wide receivers because the market's been reset. Christian Kirk getting cashed down in Jacksonville. Wow. Here are the rookies, or the dudes entering their final year of their rookie deals: DK, Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, and of course Deebo Samuel. The question for you from a front office perspective is, how does San Francisco handle Deebo? 77 passes for over 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns. But how about the rushes? 59 rushing attempts, 365, and 8 touchdowns. Deebo is in a class of his own, Michael Lombardi.
No doubt. And what he is, what I call a weapon, right? So he's a weapon. You know, he doesn't need to get the ball because the, you know, where the coverage is or where it relates. He can play inside receiver, he can play outside receiver, and now he's this dynamic running back. So he's a weapon. So he has even more value than just a typical receiver, which we're seeing that market explode. So I can't imagine the 49ers are going to sit there and say, well, we can find another player. I mean, look, the one value that they have with Trey Lance is he's under a rookie contract for the next 3 years after the season. Now, this can allow you to afford the high-priced players in terms of your linebackers, in terms of all the Fred Warner you've signed, in terms of Bosa. You know, it can allow you to do that. You don't have to do what they did with DeForest Buckner and send him away because you can't really afford to have this many guys. So this is the time to sign him, and I suspect that they will. But I think a lot of this is being tied up because of Garoppolo, because of Garoppolo's, you know, contract and him keeping their salary cap where it is, you know, in terms of they haven't moved him. And so eventually I would think that they would say to the agent that represents them, I mean, they right now are one of the lowest teams in terms of cap room currently, but that's because they're, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo is counting $26 million on their cap. They'll transition that into Deebo Samuel. To me, that's what they're going to do.
What have you heard about Jimmy G?
You know, the problem, everything I hear about Jimmy G is related to his shoulder. You know, is he healthy? Can he stay healthy? You know, I mean, that's the concern. And so, you know, I mean, look, the one thing I think, if you're the 49ers, right, you have Deebo Samuel. He's entering this season. He's in his last year. He's due to make $3.9 million. And so you're saying, okay, they'll play this year. We'll definitely franchise him next year. Now we have 2 years, and that gives us time to sort through the situation at with Jimmy Garoppolo. They don't really need a lot of money to sign their rookies because they don't have a first-round pick. So, but they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to do something. And if they want to get something in this draft, they got to get somebody to want to will take it on them. If they're trading for next year in 2023, you know, the value of that goes way down. I mean, if you trade a 3 in 2023, you don't know really what you're getting there. Certainly we saw that with the Devontae Parker deal. They traded a 3 in 2023, but we know the Patriots have a compensatory pick, which because of the J.C. Jackson deal. So I think there's a lot of moving parts here, but the biggest part to move is the shoulder injury of Garoppolo, and how does that affect his status?
You want to take a shot at the 49ers win total? I've got it here for
9.5. 9.5.
You know what? I got a book right here showing 10 and minus 130 to the over. So you got to pay a little juice on the over at 10. That is a lofty number. It's a big number.
Yeah, because I don't know how you could set it at 10 based on where they are at quarterback. You're dealing. Where is Lance? Is he good? Do we know he's good?
Your guess
we know
is
the
as good
rhetoric that says he's good. Right. I mean, I don't think there's a there's a sense of it that he's great. I talk to people that watch practice. It's not this what they say in terms of how they've watched him practice based on what the media says are two entirely different things. You think they're at different practices. That remains to be seen. He's a young player. He's going to struggle at practice. We understand that. How he plays during the year, that remains to be seen. We'll see.
You know, it's interesting with the wide receiver market as well. So Tyreek's going to get with the extension an average of 30 mil per. Your buddy Devontae Adams here in town is going to get 28. Stephon Diggs' new contract is going to make him 26 per. So these receivers are getting paid, Michael. I mean, think about Cooper Kupp, who's making 15 mil. That's it.
I mean, they get the ball in the end zone. I mean, I would suspect they're going to redo Cooper. I mean, just to get some more cap room, typically what they're going to do. But look, let's face it. Godwin just got $20 million, and he's coming off an ACL. I mean, he's coming off an ACL. And the Browns didn't even lower. They didn't even lower Amari Cooper's number. They kept him at the same number. So, you know, I mean, look, Tyreek Hill has got, you know, he's got total guarantees of $72 million. The average per year when you basically break down the contract, ultimately it's really about the guarantees because in 2026, his base salary goes up to $43 million. None of that's guaranteed, right? And that's how the average per year becomes so high, which to me, teams aren't looking at it that way.
Draft
you
odds.
Quote 30,
sorry,
it's
Mike.
Just dumb.
Draft odds coming up next. Apologies.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, FirstBet ExpressBet wants you to get in on all the horse racing action. Sign up today with the promo code VEGAS1000. Receive $10 instantly and up to a $1,000 bonus. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. Use that bonus code VEGAS1000. It's vsin.com/horses for details. As we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is Michael Lombardi. We were talking wide receivers, Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, and I wanted to make a point.
Please.
We had to go to break. And I think what we have to, you know, we use the number Tyreek Hill get $30 million per year. It's not. Tyreek Hill, last year of his contract, it goes from $21 million up to $43.9 million. So that all that number was just a way for the agent to kind of say, hey, I got 30. Nobody's looking at this deal. They're going to value this deal as a four-year deal with the guarantees that he got, which on an average is based on that. And it's going to come right in around $20 million.
What about Devontae?
Devontae's deal is similar. Devontae's deal, I think, is just a tad over. It's just a tad over. His actually, when you look at it on the first 4 years of the deal, you know, I think his is $22 million. It's a little bit over. You know, his last season, he's got 5 years, and he goes from $3 million because he got a huge bonus, $6 million, $16 million, then he shoots up to $35 and $35 million. So most of these teams, what they really do is they value 3 years of the contract, and then the rest of it is kind of like phony years that don't really affect the number. Now, I think obviously in 2025, when Devontae Adams is 33 years old, is he still going to be worth $35 million in base salary? We shall see. But to me, I think we throw these numbers around like they're, oh, he's $30 million a year. No, he's not. Contracts are valued over 3 years. Typically, that's how they are.
Okay, so the rookies coming out this year, how would you characterize this rookie class? I mean, you got Drake London, who's the big wide receiver from USC. Then you've got the two smaller but super athletic receivers, obviously from Ohio State, and Wilson and Olave. Jameson Williams, who is, you know, coming off the ACL, but I mean, if he was healthy, Michael, I'd have a hard time passing up on him.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I would think Jameson would have been, I mean, I think a lot of it's going to come down to where, I mean, we were watching him on Twitter or Instagram somewhere. He was running routes and you could see him do that. I think the other guy you've got to consider is this Treylon Burks kid from Arkansas. I mean, he was sensational all through the season. He's a big receiver. He's 6'2". He's got great length. He's got 225 pounds, you know, and he was really a factor in terms of their offense last year, what he was able to accomplish and what he did. He was immensely talented. That's the one thing about the receiver group. You know, there's so many good guys in this, and I think you've got to be really careful at saying, okay, if I take one in the first round, where am I getting one? Could I get the same player, a similar player in the third round? You know, like Jaheim Dotson from Penn State is a fabulous player, You know, would you be better off taking Drake London in the first, or would you better off taking Dotson in the second if he goes to the second? You know, I think those are the kind of questions you have to ask and answer. But, I mean, all of these guys, because of the way we're playing offensive football in college, they certainly can make a difference.
Okay, here are the odds, and they'll differ a little bit depending on what book you look at, but I'm just looking at a book here in town. Garrett Wilson and Drake London are essentially your favorites to go be the first wide receiver taken. So Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jameson Williams, 5-1 to be the first wide receiver taken. You just mentioned Treylon Burks. He's 10-1. Olave's 15-1. And Dotson is 50-1. So we start to kind of dip a little bit after Olave. The wide receiver thirsty teams, I'll put it that way. Washington seemingly is going to be looking for a wide receiver. They're picking 11. Is there any other team that just jumps out at you early in the draft that would be wide receiver ready right now and needy?
Well, you know, I think when you break down these teams, I think, you know, when you look at Washington, you say, okay, you know, could they use one? Yeah, sure, they could definitely use one, and I think there's no doubt. Could the Jets? I think the Jets easily could use one. They're in the market. I mean, they've made it abundantly clear that they're going to try to get one, and they're looking all over. I mean, Seattle now with all their picks, are they going to trade Metcalf and then replace him with one? I think to me that remains to be seen. But I think the Jets, specifically where they are sitting, I think they're the easy target for perhaps maybe. And then, of course, Atlanta. I mean, everybody has Atlanta taking a quarterback, but, I mean, there may not be a quarterback for them. And they don't have any skill. I know they took Pitts, but once, you know, with Ridley gone, Julio not there, I mean, they're really struggling on the outside. So I would think those two teams would jump out to me as receiver heavy.
How would you overall, would you grade it? Would you put it as a B? Would you put it as a B plus, A minus as far as the wide receiver group here coming into the draft?
I would say, you know, this is probably
pretty
where
good,
a lot
right?
of talent is. It's a pretty good group. There's no denying it. I mean, you can get, and I think what makes it a good group is you can get a little bit of everything, right? You can get size. You know, you can get, you know, I always break receivers down into a, like a basketball team. And if you build a draft board, you should build a draft board. There is just not a wide receiver position. There are small forwards, power forwards, and then there's the off guard, and then there's the point guard. Like Elijah Moore last year was a point guard. And those are the Wes Welkers. Not that they're short, but they're the guys that play inside. Hunter Renfro's a point guard. You know, whereas Waller's a power forward. Devontae Adams is a small forward, could go to power forward. So I think you want to break them into different categories based on how their skill set translates. Like Jawan Dotson, to me, is more of a small forward, whereas Drake London's more of a power forward. He's more of a size mismatch receiver. I think the question you have to answer, can he play on the outside? I think what most people don't realize, it's challenging to win on the outside in the National Football League. You've got to be really good. You've got to have great quickness, and you've got to be very good at the top of the route, which sometimes these guys who don't play a lot of man coverage with bump and run are not very good at the top of the route. So I think there is a diversity of positional value, whereas when you see Jameson Williams, he's truly a small forward that probably could play some point, could play some – he can move around because of his skill set, and he's got that vertical outside threat that scares the hell out of you.
Michael, you mentioned the Jets, who are slotted to pick 4 here. Do you smoke fire type of thing with them where they've been rumored to be involved with potential trades, DK and others? Do you think there's some validity to those rumors?
I do, and here's why I think so. Because if you're Joe Douglas, what you don't want to do is become way too young. They got Corey Davis. They got Elijah Moore. They got two, you know, Davis is really, they paid him like a number one, but he's not. But you need somebody with some experience so your offense can get generating moving quicker. You know, you don't want to be too young and too old at the same time. And so if you could slide in a player like DK Metcalf, who's entering his fourth year, and you got him for 5 more years to go along with a young quarterback, now you're talking. Now you've got the right rhythm of your team in terms of age. And I think that's really important. And so not that you don't want to become too young. I'm sure if you could take a Garrett Wilson or if you took Burks, you know. But you're talking about a lot of guys have to grow up together. It's a little bit like what happens in – we see this in basketball, in the NBA. You know, I mean, Oklahoma City has a lot of talented young players. They're just too young, right? They're just too young. They all don't know how to play together. They don't understand the game. There needs to be some veteran leadership in terms of this, and I think that's what Douglas would be looking at. That's why I think he was so interested in making a trade, you know, for Tyreek Hill. Plus, he tilts the field, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, the cheetah. He is – I'm still wondering how that's going to work out with him, obviously. And Tua, he's got a ton of, your boy Tua's got a ton of weapons, Michael. There's going to be no excuses.
It's going to be interesting how teams defend him, too, because they know he's going to want to throw the ball short. You know, and they know they got Hill. Everybody thinks they traded for Hill to be the vertical outside receiver. But what people often mistake about Hill is he's great with the ball in his hands. His yards after the catch is sensational. He's almost impossible to tackle because he combines the rare quality of having rare vertical speed with rare quickness. Not a lot of guys have that. Not a lot of guys have that quickness that can separate. So, you know, getting him the ball on a five-yard crossing, he could take it to the house.
Absolutely. This is random. We're going to get to Will. We've got plenty to do today. This is so random. But if Davis Mills, let me ask you this. A friend texted me this. If Davis Mills was in this year's draft as opposed to last year's draft, would he be the first quarterback off the board? And the reason I ask you is because it puts in perspective how this draft sets up this year as far as the class.
I think he would be. I think that's a great question. I think he would be. And if you look at Davis Mills, the only reason he was pushed down, five-star player coming out of Atlanta, went to Stanford, was really good, but the injuries affected him, and that pushed him down because he didn't have a lot of service. But in terms of just pure playing the position with talent and size, yes, he would be. That's the point. That's
and he's
the
a third rounder, Michael. Third rounder last
that's
year.
That's the point. That's the point. Derek Carr is a second rounder. Garoppolo is a second rounder. These guys are not better than those two players, and yet they went in the second. You're manufacturing quarterbacks in the first round, and it helps you if you're a mock draft expert. It doesn't help you if you're a general manager, because if you turn that card in and you're the Carolina Panthers, you basically are wasting that. That player is not helping you next year. You drafted him for the next coach.
I don't think we call that value, where you could have gotten the dude in the third round last year, and now you're going to try to force a Malik Willis top five this year. That is not value.
Right. I mean, I think, to me, when you look at it, I think if you're really building the team correctly, you build it. Like, if you're the Carolina Panthers, I think you've got to get a left tackle, and you've got to make the decision. Do you take Cross, who everybody loves, you know, as a player, or do you take the kid from NC State? I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to.
Tremendous information. By the way, Drake London and Garrett Wilson, just to kind of circle back, Wilson's a slight favorite at +110 at BetMGM. London +140 to be the first wide receiver off the board. Will Hill is next here on the Lombardi Line.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, Augusta National, still going down the Masters. BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the tournament. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any golfer to win. If a golfer makes a birdie during a tournament, you're going to win $200 paid for in free bets, regardless of your bet's outcome. So you just use that bonus code VSIN200, VSIN200, to make your first bet. Enjoy golf like never before. Again, it's VSIN200 over at BetMGM. It's for first-time bettors, paid for in free bets. 1-800-GAMBLER if you do have an issue, and you got to be 21 years or older. Okay, we welcome you back here on a Sunday, an easy Sunday, as Scotty Scheffler and Cam Smith, it looks like, Michael, those two are kind of going to pair up together, and that's going to be a great duel, as right now you've got Scotty Scheffler right around minus 240 to win it, and then coming back the other way, plus 200 on Cam Smith. So we'll get more into the Masters as the day unfolds. In fact, they're not going to tee off until, what, 240 your time, so you got plenty of time there in Jersey to wait on that final pairing. We welcome in our buddy, of course, Will Hill. You can find the podcast, beeson.com/podcast, New York City Cast. And we say hi to Will, and good morning. How you doing, Will?
What's going on, guys? Exciting day. A lot of events here in the NBA where you got to keep track of who's playing, who's not, what it means to what team. So it's it should be fun.
So I was, this is for you, Michael. I was up at 3:30 this morning with two sheets of what potentially could happen today in the NBA. Let's just put it this way. If Philly beats Detroit today and Boston loses to the Grizzlies, you will, yes, you and your 76ers will jump up to three, which is advantageous because the Raptors have locked up the five, Michael.
There's no doubt. But that does the question I have for this esteemed group is, will Memphis try to play against Boston?
Here's why. They won yesterday. Okay. They win today. They break their all-time season winning record as far as a franchise. So, and this has been a very, it's the second youngest team in the NBA. Will, if they win today, they break the, remember the Connolly and Powell in the Gasol groups, they break that group's franchise record for wins in a season.
Yeah, grit and grind. And it probably means something to them. You know, a Memphis team that never won a title, never been to a final, something like that probably means something to them. So that's a good angle by you. That's a good job. And you mentioned Philly. Philly can move up to the three. They could be the three or the four. They can't be the two. Milwaukee can be the two or the three. They can't be the four. But it looks like Milwaukee's going to rest everyone, which I find a little interesting because, you know, you do avoid Brooklyn in the first round. If you move down to the three, you play Chicago, which is a better matchup. But you're pretty much punting on home court in the second round. And the way the Nets have played, I don't know. Are you that afraid of the Nets? They're kind of limping to the finish
great
line
question.
Here.
That is a great question. Would you rather play Toronto or the Nets?
I think this. I think the NBA players could care less about home court. I don't think it matters anymore. I think it matters to us. We talk about it, but I don't think they care. I think they care about who they play. Now, that Boston line, Patrick, that line opened up at Boston as 2.5-point favorite, and it shot up to 5.5.
Yep, big move there. I'm taking a look. I'm reloading the numbers right now. But that's the question I'd ask both of you right now. We'll start with you and get to Michael on this. If you are Philly and Boston, would you prefer play Toronto, who is just really, really impressive right now, or the Nets, who can't defend?
I'd still rather play Toronto. Now, I think it's a tough matchup for Philly because, you know, Toronto's going to run and Philly's bad in transition. You know, Toronto's got a lot of 6'8", 6'9 guys. They can throw it hard and they've got a lot of athleticism. They can switch. And man, if you switch against Harden, it's not easy because he just can't get by people anymore. He can't finish anymore. That being said, Kevin Durant plays on the Nets. He doesn't play on the Raptors. And the Raptors still, you know, they've got issues shooting. So both of them would be tough series. I want no part of Durant. So I would still lean towards playing the Raptors. But look, the Raptors, that's not an easy series by any stretch.
I'm all over playing the Raptors. You don't want to play Kevin Durant. I mean, especially the way the Nets ran the 76ers really out of the gym the last time they played them. Their transition defense really showed up, particularly the way the Nets ran at them. And so I would take my chances with the Raptors. I think either one of those options aren't good for Philadelphia. I think the only option that is good for Philly is to play the Bulls, and they're going to need some cooperation from the Celtics today.
Yeah, back to your point about Boston, that number jumping to 5.5 off the 2.5 opener, it looks like, I mean, there's really no big misses for Memphis. That's a surprising line movement there as far as Boston jumping up to 5.5, Will.
Yeah, you got to wonder if somebody knows something there because that looks too good to be true. I mean, you're getting 5.5 at home. I would certainly lean towards the Grizzlies unless I'm missing something. I mean, Morant came back yesterday, so maybe they don't play him on a second night of a back-to-back.
No, he's expected to play. Bane's there, Brooks is there, Jackson's there, Adams there. I mean, I don't see any big misses as of 7:50 Western time, so Pacific time. It's a confounding movement as far as the line jumping from 2.5 to 5.5.
unless you, there's a concern they play these guys for a half and then sit people. You know, they do that in the NFL. Like, this kind of has the week 17, week 18 feel of the NFL, where you don't know, you know, who's going to play and how long. Maybe they play these guys for a half and sit them. But yeah, you'd figure Grizzlies plus 5.5 is a play if they're all in.
Yeah, and if Milwaukee loses and Boston wins, Milwaukee's still the 2 seed, because, you know, Milwaukee is 51. They'll be 51 and 31. Boston will be 51 and 31, and they'll have the tiebreaker in that. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, if I'm Philly and you're playing at 7 and Boston's playing at they're playing 7 Central time, you know, this will be interesting to see how the doctor works all this out. This ought to be really – that will be in the lab. But if I'm Philly, I'd rather be 3 and play 6 than 4 and play 5.
So you mentioned – and the NBA did a good job of lining up the times where teams won't know as far as their seeding. You know, they've matched up the times. So I think you put that well. Let's get to your 76ers, who – right now, you got a number on that one, Michael, because my computer's
12.
Is it 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Might even be 12 and a half.
They're hosting the Pistons.
There's some play at Circa. It's 12 and a half. At DraftKings in New Jersey here, we're 12 and a half. So, you know, look, I mean, they struggled to beat the Pistons last time they played them. And, you know, they played at 12. They played yesterday, and they played substantial minutes to kind of beat Indiana. And it was a closer game than the score indicated. I mean, Rick, how about my man Rick Carlisle calling timeouts with 20 seconds to go to freeze the field? I mean, really, like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? And can't we get the game over? I wanted to watch the Masters. Can't we just get the game over? And of course, they didn't do that. But I don't know. I mean, will Philly approach us? Does Philly want to win? I mean, I think if you're Philly, you want to win this and potentially get the 3rd seed. So are you going to play your guys? The last time you played Detroit with your guys, you couldn't beat them.
They beat the Pacers yesterday. They didn't cover, 133-120, ended up closing 14. Will, do you have a lean today with the Pistons in town there in Philly?
Yeah, watching Philly defend, I wouldn't like 12 and a half with them against anybody. Like I mentioned, they're slow. They can't really shoot. You know, the Pistons have at least tried hard this last month. I know they got buried by Milwaukee the other night, but to me, it would be Pistons or nothing here. I just don't see, you know, Philly, they don't defend well enough to be laying 12 and a half to anyone. It's pretty much that simple. I really worry about them in the playoffs too, because they look really slow. You know, the roster isn't great. They're only 5 or 6 deep, and boy, I don't know how you're going to give Harden $250 million. That's just, God bless you. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, look, Philly's defense, I couldn't agree more. I mean, their spread defense ranks 20th in the league. They're not very good at all. And in the last 10 games, they have not played well at all defensively. So they're 16th overall and giving up 116 points. But yesterday, if you watch that game, I mean, they could not get control of the game. They were in the lead, but they never got control of the game. Their defense is pathetic. I mean, it's truly pathetic. And they're not going to beat anybody with that defense.
The Nets, they win today. They host the 7-8 matchup, so it behooves them. And they've got Indiana in town, Will. They're on the second half of back-to-back. Indiana has absolutely nothing to play for, and it shows in the number. Nets open 15, have been bet up to 16.5.
Yeah, similar with Philly. I just can't lay 16.5 with this team. We saw them as big favorites the other night against the Rockets, 17.5. They didn't cover. They played the Pistons a week or so ago, 15-point favorites or so, didn't cover. They don't defend well either. They are so small. When you put out lineups with Kyrie and Curry and then, you know, Mills or Dragic, you're basically playing, you know, 3 point guard size guys in one lineup. Now, they'll win this game. You know, maybe they win it by 20 or 30 because the Pacers don't care. But to me, it's Pacers or nothing, and the Nets are another team where, I don't know, I just don't see them as a title contender. They're just so small and so bad on defense. So I would lean towards the Pacers here. And, you know, you would think the Nets win, and both 7-8 games are on Tuesday here, Michael. So this is a scheduling quirk. You know how I like the schedules. Both 7-8 games are on Tuesday. Both 9-10 games are on Wednesday.
I mean, it's amazing. There's nothing that this man can't do, Patrick. I mean, he can coach with the best of them. He can schedule TV. I mean, it's just remarkable. The sports, you know, what's your golf pick? I mean, let's go into golf. Why not? See what you got there.
I'm going to root for Scheffler. I got him even money yesterday, so I'm gonna root
for him. Of course
he hangs on. I think he's all right.
I mean, I think Butch Harmon's calling you for advice. I think there's no doubt. I think that's pretty
clear. You got to get a nickname for Will that encompasses everything.
He's the polymath of betting.
Polymath is good.
Coach, He can do anything. I mean, there's no sport that he can't take the headset over and control it. And in television, too. He put Rune Arledge in the back seat.
Would you like to confirm the rumors that Michael's spreading about you, Will Hill?
I was going through our text trying to see what warranted this rant the other day. I couldn't really find it, but my friends and family did appreciate it. They all thought it was hilarious.
New York City cast, and it's been a great start for the Yankees. Well, at least exciting. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it. Have a good Sunday.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate
all right,
you.
See you guys.
We're back here on the Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.